We can trust in Him. We can trust in Him. Praise God. Amen. Exodus chapter 4 and verse number 1. Exodus chapter 4, verse number 1. Amen. We are jumping right in the middle of Moses' burning bush experience, his call to return back to his people in Egypt. Amen. And such a divine call and a divine experience that he had there that day. And the Lord is speaking to Moses and has begun to tell him what he wanted him to do, began to give him those instructions, amen, began to give him that call. And Moses answered, verse number 1 of chapter 4 of Exodus, and said, but behold, they will not believe me. He had a past. He had a reputation. He didn't leave in the best of circumstances. He had some failures that he was having a hard time overcoming. And he said, but perhaps, behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice. They're not going to listen to me. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Moses was having some doubts. He was giving the Lord some, if you just want to call them excuses, I guess you could say that. He was giving the Lord some reasons why this couldn't happen and why he couldn't be used of God and why he couldn't perform what the Lord was wanting him to do. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? What is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And he did what probably most of us in here would do. Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. I'd go back to Egypt and preach before I'd take a snake by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it. And it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. And that's what I want to preach today. What is that in thine hand? What is that in thine hand? Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. We're so thankful. Once again, we say it every service, but we're thankful for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord tonight. God, I mean that tonight from my heart. Thank you for the chance to be here again in church one more time, to feel your presence, to worship you. Oh, Lord, the opportunity we have for you to move and to work in our lives, God, to speak to our hearts from your word, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, let it be more than just words. Let it be more than just writing on a page, Lord, but let the word of God find its mark tonight. That it would, O Lord, encourage, that it would lift up, that it would, O Lord, build faith, I pray, in the hearts and the minds of the souls here tonight. God, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. You can be seated. Amen. Moses has had a very interesting past. He began his life in a very miraculous way, when old Pharaoh was, amen, coming against the people of God, he saw them as a threat in his land. He saw them as a formidable force. And he was worried that this nation that had begun with just, amen, 12 brothers and their daddy, a man that came to sojourn down in Egypt, a man, and now they had grown to so many. because that man was the man, the word of God to Abraham. Amen. Jacob's grandfather. He said, I'm going to make your seed like the stars of the heaven and like the sand that's by the sea. And amen, Pharaoh got to watch that take place. And amen, those grandson, amen, the grandson and the great-grandsons of Abraham, as they began to multiply and become a great nation there in bondage in the land of Egypt. Amen, because Pharaoh had amen, made them slaves, and he thought that that would take care of it. And he began to make things worse and worse and worse for them. He tried to come up with plans and ideas to halt their growth and to amen, slow their growth down, praise God. And the devil always wants to try to slow the church down. Amen. Our enemy wants to try, amen, to hobble us and amen, hamstring us, to keep us, amen, from growing, to keep us from being what God intends for us to be, praise God. And so this was Pharaoh's plan. This was his, amen, purpose to slow them down, to hinder them, to hamper them. And so he would try this and try that, but it didn't work. And finally he came to the place that he would utter words that were so horrific that most human beings would not, amen, well, I say that. We're living in a time where, amen, certain ones in our country are doing the same thing. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I never would have dreamed that we had lived to see the day where people, amen, would love animals and throw you in prison for doing something to an animal, but, amen, but before partial birth abortion of a human life. Unnatural affection. I love animals, but it's unnatural affection where if something happened to an animal, you'll put somebody in prison over it. But it man be for the murder of babies, pulling them out of the womb and then killing them. Amen. That's the day and the age and the hour that we're living in. But Pharaoh uttered the words, you take every male baby that's born. He told his midwives, every male child of the Hebrews, you take them and you throw them in the river. Annihilate them. Do away with them. We cannot allow their men to gain strength and gain, amen, in numbers. We got to keep them weak. Praise God. And I'll just say this too. I believe it's, amen, hell's agenda, amen, to feminize the men in our country. He didn't have a problem with the women, but he said, you take the male out of the equation. You get rid of those male babies. You get rid of the strength, the masculinity. We don't want any strength among these people. Well, praise God. You can believe what you want to believe. I'm going to tell you, the spirit of homosexuality has become such a dominant the spirit in our world that is being pushed and being, well, praise God. I'm an evangelist. Maybe I'm not supposed to go here, but I'm going to tell you, it's more than just a lifestyle. It's more than just, oh, so many are wanting to live this way nowadays. No, there's a spirit that's behind it. There's a spirit that's pushing it. Praise God. Wanting the men to be sissies. Wanting the men to be weaklings. Wanting the men, amen, to not have a backbone. Amen. And to feminize the male, amen, in our society. Take away the strength. Praise God. God made it that way. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Who are we to try to change up the way God made things? If you were born, amen, a female, God meant for you to be a female. If you were born a male, God meant for you to be a male. He doesn't make mistakes. Oh, hallelujah. And so Pharaoh said, get rid of the men. Get rid of the men children. Get rid of the male babies. And so, amen, that is what was happening. But God still stepped in. And those midwives said, hey, they're so strong, they're not like. Amen, these Hebrew women are not like us Egyptian women. They're so hardy and strong when we get there. They've already had their babies. And amen, well, praise God. And so he said, throw the male children in the river. But there was a woman that had something about her. She just knew this child is special. And the Bible says she took this baby. Praise God. And he still wound up in the river. But it wasn't on Pharaoh's terms. And his mama made him a little ark of bulrushes, and she fixed it up, and she put that baby in there. She went and set him in the river's edge, and she had his older sister Miriam go watch and to see what would happen. And I love the way the Lord works. You know, he can really put it to the devil. Yes, he can. Here came Pharaoh's daughter. Amen, coming down to the river to wash, and she heard something, she saw something, and she looked, and there was that ark of bulrushes. She said, go get that and bring it to me, and they opened it up, and there's that baby. And here's this, amen, lady that I'm guessing did not have a child, and here she was, and there was something happened in her, and it was God-given. And those motherly instincts kicked in when she seen that precious little innocent baby. And she said, I'm going to take this baby for myself. She said, this is a Hebrew baby. Some mama didn't want it to die. Hallelujah. Now you see, God took Pharaoh's daughter and had her raise a baby that's supposed to have been dead, that Pharaoh said to kill. And he became Pharaoh's grandson. That's right, he got a monthly check. And you know what? Moses' mother got paid to take care of her own child. Oh, hallelujah. There's Miriam standing there hiding and watching, and she said, man, I need a nurse for this baby. I need somebody to take care of this baby. And here come Miriam just... And she said, I know a perfect one to be a nurse for that baby. And she said, go get her. And she went and got Moses' own mother. Here she came. She said, you know, I want you to take care of this baby. And they thought they had it. They thought they were doing it all, but no, God was doing it all. And we worry about problems in our lives. And God knows how to just put it all together. God knows how to, well, praise God. Hallelujah. She got compensated for taking care of her own baby. She got to raise that child. She got to speak truth into that child's ears. She got to tell that child who he was. And but, man, he went on. It'd take way too much time to go through it all tonight, but he went on, man, and he lived in the palace at a certain point in his life, and he, man, got taught by the best that Egypt had to offer. And, man, he was in line to be a Pharaoh. He was in line to be the ruler of Egypt. And here he was, and he learned the Egyptians' ways, and he had the best that the world could offer him. But there came a day, there came a time, the Bible says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He went out and he began to look upon his brother's burdens. He knew who he was down inside. He might have been wearing the robes of Egypt. He might have been riding on the royal horses and had all the entourage and everything else, but he really knew who he was down inside. And the Bible says he saw an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, and he got angry. And he killed that Egyptian, buried him in the sand, and thought nobody knew anything about it. But then the next day, some more Hebrews said, hey, what are you trying to straighten us out for? Hey, man, are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? Woo! Hallelujah. And although he was God's man, God had chosen him. God had picked him out. God had saved him for the purpose of being, amen, the deliverer. Yeah. of his people. He still had issues in his life. He still didn't do everything right. He was trying to do God's will, but he went about it the wrong way. And he ran. He fled from his sin. He fled from his problem. He fled from his failures instead of facing them. And, amen, we find him now. He is in, amen, another place. He's in Midian. He's there. He's found someone that cares about him. He's a married man now. He loves his father-in-law. He's taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And he's a long ways from those days back in Egypt. And, amen, we look at age nowadays and all of that, but, amen, he was, for our day, he would be an old man. And here he is as a shepherd, and he's shepherding his father-in-law's sheep. And all of a sudden, he sees the bush burning. And they tell me that that's not an unusual sight in the desert, in hot, arid, dry climates, that that can happen. But the Bible says the bush was not burnt. This bush was burning, but it wasn't being consumed. It wasn't burning up, and that got his attention. God knows how to get our attention. I said, God knows how to get our attention. And so he's looking at this bush, and he's wondering why it isn't being consumed. And so he steps a little bit closer to look at it and check it out. And when he does, God begins to speak to him. Hallelujah. He said, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Hallelujah. This is me talking to you. I did this for a reason. I wanted to get your attention because I've got something. I'm not finished with you yet. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. You knew what you're supposed to be. You knew your mama talked to you when you was a baby. But you've ran from, amen, your failures. You've ran from, amen, your faults and your issues. But I've caught up with you. I haven't, amen, forgotten who you are, where you are. And, amen, I'm here to talk to you. The cry of my people has become great in my ears. And, amen, I still remember who you are. I still remember what I had purposed for you in your life. You see, amen, many times we can run from our failures. We can run from, amen, the things that have hindered us. But, amen, God knows, amen, how to talk to us. God knows, amen, hallelujah. Too often people say, well, I can't do anything for God because of this and that and the other. I can't do anything for God. I can't be what God had purposed for me to be because of this and that. And, amen, things are held over our head. But I'm going to tell you, God wants to use you. God, amen, oh, hallelujah. He didn't just leave Moses in the desert. He didn't just leave Moses out there to be a shepherd the rest of his life, but God showed up and said, I remember, amen, what I called you to be. I haven't forgotten you. You haven't run too far that I couldn't find you and talk to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So he begins to talk to him. Amen. He begins to talk to him about what he wants him to do. And Moses has every kind of excuse. Amen, I can't do it. He was content just being a shepherd. Amen, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And too much water under the bridge. I can't go back there. I can't face, amen, my brethren. I can't face, amen. He had family there. He had a brother Aaron and a sister Miriam. And, amen, but I can't go back there. I can't do that. They know me too well. I can't do that. And God said, amen, he kept speaking to him. And then Moses said, you know what? They're not going to listen to me anyway. I can't do it. Moses began trying to tell God, the one that made him, why he couldn't do it. He began to tell God his inability, like God didn't already know. Well, hallelujah. You know, when you really think about it, it's kind of comical. Amen. Why we start telling God why we can't do what he wants us to do. because I'm this. And he said, no, I can't do it. And he began to explain to God why he couldn't do it and the reasons for it. And matter of fact, they're not even going to listen to me, or they're not even going to believe me. And when I go back and say, hey, God talked to me back in Midian and he told me to come back and, amen, we're going to get out of this place, they're going to say, I don't believe you. God said, you know what? What is that in your hand? Hallelujah. Moses is saying, I don't have the ability. I don't have the tools. I can't do it. There's no way that I can accomplish what you're asking me to do. And God just stopped him right in the middle of all that and said, what is that in your hand? Well, praise God. Hallelujah. And he said, well, it's a rod. It's a shepherd's staff. Very common tool. It's a stick. I don't know why you're asking me what's in my hand. Don't you already know what's in my hand? God said, yeah, and I already knew who you was too. He said, it's a rod. And God said, throw it on the ground. And I'm thankful that Moses was obedient. I don't know what was going through his mind, but he took that rod and he threw it on the ground. The Bible says it became a serpent. And he started running. Praise God. He ran from it. And that's probably what most of us would do. Praise God. He didn't have a shovel, I guess, or pistol or shotgun. Hallelujah. Amen. My. I know God made snakes. But he also said, he told the woman, I'm going to put enmity between you and, amen, your seed and his seed. I know he's talking about the devil, but there's something about snakes too. Amen. Hallelujah. If you like holding them and loving on them, you go right ahead. I'll stay away from you. Praise God. Amen. At least while you're loving them, holding them. Praise God. And he ran from it. And God said, you go back there and you get it by the tail. Now, Lord, I know this ain't you now. I thought that burning bush was you, but that can't be you. But God said, grab it by the tail. And he was obedient. And he went over there and he grabbed it by the tail and it became a rod in his hand again. And God said that they're going to know that I've sent you. Hallelujah. I just performed something with something that you already possessed, with something you already had in your hand, so that you know and they know. Hallelujah. God was showing Moses, I don't have to have the greatest. I don't have to have the best. You don't have to be this, that, or whatever. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be that. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to have the best of this and that to do what I've called you to do. You already have everything you need to be what I want you to be. What is that in thine hand? Somebody needs to hear this preacher tonight. Oh, hallelujah. The devil will give you every kind of reason why you can't be what you need to be for God. The devil will tell you why you can't live for God, why you can't be a vessel in God's hand. He'll remind you of your mistakes. He'll remind you of your past. He'll remind you, amen, of those things, amen, that were not pleasing to God. And he'll say you can't be what God wants you to be. But I'm here to tell you, amen, you don't have to have the latest and the greatest. You don't have to have, amen, the best of this or that to be a vessel that God can use if God calls you, if God speaks to you, if God puts you in his church. You've got if God fills you with his spirit, you've got everything you need to be what God wants you to be. You've got everything you need, amen, to do a work for God, to be, amen, what God wants you to be. God said, what is that in your hand? He didn't say, what is that, amen, over here, and what is that you wish you had over there? But he said, what do you already have? What do you already possess? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And you know, amen, how that, amen, Moses kept talking to God and God talked to him, and Moses finally was obedient to God, went back, amen. And when they, amen, began to question him, he threw the rod down. It became a serpent, amen. And they understood, amen, the miracle working power of God, amen, that God is with this man, that God is using this man. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. How many times did the Lord work through that rod? That old stick. Amen. He held it up over the Red Sea and God parted the waters. Amen. He smote the rock and the water came out of the rock. Praise God. Pray, what is that in thine hand? Well, it's nothing. This can't be used for anything. It's nothing important. It's nothing special. But God said, hey, when I get a hold of it, amen, it can do great things. Oh, hallelujah. When you give it to me, it can do wonderful things. When you let me have control, hallelujah, there is no limit. There is no telling what can happen. What is that in thine hand? Amen. The enemy would say, we don't have what it takes, and we don't have what we need, and we don't have maybe what the other church has, and we don't have this, or we don't have that. God said, forget all of that. What is that in thine hand? What do you already have? What do you already possess? Let me get a hold of it. Let me use it. Let me anoint it. No, oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Forgive me, but I preach about miracles a lot. Amen. God is a God of miracles. I said, God is a God of miracles. I'm a miracle here today. Oh, hallelujah. I should have, amen, probably, amen, died as a newborn baby. Amen, I was a month overdue. I was sick. They didn't know what was wrong with me. I had some kind of infection in my body. I was in ICU, separated, different hospital from my mother. They were worried sick about me. Amen, but the man of God and my father walked into the room and prayed for me. And all of a sudden, something changed. Something, amen, began, amen, getting better. Hallelujah. And I'm here today, 39 years later, a miracle. I'm telling you, God is a miracle working God. And God works miracles because he wants the world to see his power, and he wants to draw the world to him. God works miracles among his people and in his church because he wants people from the street to walk in and say, hey, I heard that something happened here the other night. I want to know about it. What is this God that you serve? What is this power that you possess? Oh, it's not the power that I possess, but it's the Holy Ghost that God put on the inside of me. I was nothing, but God filled me with his Spirit. And when he did, he put in me a power that this world cannot understand. Oh, everywhere that Jesus went, he worked miracles and it brought the crowds. And then he preached to them. No, yes, yes, yes. Everywhere the disciples went after Jesus ascended, amen, he gave them power to work miracles, and they worked miracles, amen, so much so that they began to lay the sick in the streets, amen, so just the shadow of the apostles could pass over them, amen. They believed in this God, and it brought the people, and they were taught, and they were preached to, amen, the gospel. Praise God. I'm telling you, amen, that's, amen, what God wants to do in 2020. I still believe that God wants to, amen, be the miracle worker, to be the Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We worry too much. Praise God. We fret and we say why we can't, why this can't happen. And I've preached about this lady already, but in 1 Kings 17, the Bible talks about the widow of Zarephath. And she came out, and the man of God met her out at the gate. And she said, I can't give you what you're asking for. I only have a handful of meal, a little bit of oil, and that's it. And we're going to die. And everything was so down and out and bleak. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. But the man of God, can I just say it this way? He said, what do you have in your hand? Oh, hallelujah. I have nothing but a handful of meal and a little bit of oil. And God said, I want to use it. Woo, hallelujah. He didn't ask her for something that she couldn't give him. He didn't ask her for something that she didn't possess. He didn't say, do you have $1 million in the bank and all the food in your pantry and everything? No. He just said, what do you have? What do you have? A little bit of a meal, a little bit of oil. He said, that'll work. That'll work. That's all I need to work a miracle. Oh, that's all I need to work a miracle. You're going to eat until this drought's over. You're going to be saved from this drought because of what you have, because I'm going to touch it. I'm going to bless it. I'm going to put my hand on it. I'm going to, well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can I preach to somebody today? What do you have in your hand? God wants to use it for His glory. Brother Brown, I don't have this, and I don't have that talent, and I don't have that ability, and I don't have the money, and I don't have the things, and I don't, but what do you have? What do you have in your hand? What do you already have? What do you have in your house? What do you possess? What can God use? What can you give Him? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God's just looking for somebody that'll be a willing vessel that'll say, God, whatever I've got, you can use it. You can anoint it. God, if you think you can use that, here it is. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse number 1, now there cried a woman, certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? He didn't say, how much can you borrow from the bank? She couldn't borrow anything from the bank. Creditors were coming. He didn't say, well, you got any friends that can give you a loan? He didn't say, amen, anything like that. He said, what do you have already? What do you have in the house? And you know she'd already went through the house. You know she'd already looked for everything of value that she had, trying her best not to lose her sons. She probably had sold everything she had already. Well, the creditors were coming to take her boys away, and that was legal. They could come and take her boys for the payment. Can you imagine? She was in a dire situation. And he said, what do you have in the house? Oh, hallelujah. God's not looking for something you don't have. I'm here, well, praise God. My. I'm here to alleviate some pressure from somebody tonight. Can I just do that? Can you let the Lord just take some pressure off of you tonight? Somebody's worried. God wants to take the worry off of you tonight. God wants to take, amen, the pressure off of you tonight. Amen. He's not, amen, looking for something that you can't give Him. He's not looking for something that you don't have. Well, I need a miracle, Brother Brown, but I don't have anything, amen, that He can work a miracle with. Can I just preach to you right now? The man of God looked at her and said, what do you have in the house? She wasn't expecting that question. And she said, all I got's a pot of oil. That's it. And he said, all right, that'll work. How's this going to work? You go and you borrow all the vessels that you can. And when you get them, you take your boys and you in the house and you start pouring out that oil. I'm not going to do it because I think that lid is better, but he said, you pour that oil out. And you fill those vessels up. I said, okay. All I got is one pot. I don't know how this is going to work. Anybody ever been there before? Okay, God. Just got one pot. She might have been saying on the inside, one pot. And I'm supposed to go get a bunch of pots. And pour out this oil and fill all them pots up. I don't have a magic pot. Yeah, don't make any sense at all. But we're going to go and see what happens. And her sons went all over town gathering pots, gathering empty vessels. Just as long as they were empty, that's what they were looking for. Praise God. Because God's wanting to work a miracle and help us right now. Hallelujah. God, praise God. I'm going bankrupt. I'm going broke. I'm going bust. But the man of God said, go get vessels. Hallelujah. And take this oil that I already have in the house and start pouring it into these empty vessels. Praise God, praise God. We could preach and preach and preach on that right there. Amen. And so her boys went and gathered vessels all until they couldn't find another empty vessel. And she said, all right, we've got them. He said, now go in the house. Fill those up with the oil from your pot. And then go and sell the oil. Pay off the debt. And then take the rest that's left over. And you live off of it. Hallelujah. God doesn't just halfway do things. God does things right when He does it. He didn't just say there'd be enough to pay your debt off, then you have to figure out what to do from there on out. He said, you go pay the debt and you're going to have money left over to live on. Oh, glory to God. Out of something she already had in the house. Well, hallelujah. I wonder how many days she worried herself sick, and she already had what she needed in the house. Praise God. I told Iman somebody a testimony from Iman, our own life, Iman, of something just like that. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you, we'll worry ourselves and we'll fret, and the answer's sitting right there. And God has it already all figured out. But God lets it happen that way, so we'll trust Him. Well, praise God. If we immediately had the answer when the problem arose, we'd never trust God. Oh, my. So God wants to help somebody tonight. I really feel that God's talking to somebody in this house tonight. Praise God. And so here she was. They went in the house and they poured the oil out until every vessel was full and there was still oil. I wish I could have saw that. It'd just be like the breaking of the loaves and fishes. Little basket, few fish, few loaves of bread, and he broke and they gave and they gave and they gave, and the basket never went empty. And they just kept reaching in and giving and kept reaching in and giving, kept reaching in and giving.
What?
I know how much was in here when I started this, but I've already given out to 100 people and I'm still reaching in here and giving. And when everybody had ate till they couldn't eat anymore. Did anybody do that this afternoon? Eat till I can't eat another bite. They went around seconds and thirds, kept giving out of the baskets. There was leftovers. They poured the oil till there was no more pots to fill. They went and sold the oil. And they had enough to pay the debt off and to live on the rest. And it was what they already possessed. Praise God. God's asking you right now tonight, what is that in thine hand? What is that in your hand? If you have the Holy Ghost tonight, you have everything you need to be everything God wants you to be. Praise God. You have the power, amen, to be an overcomer. You have the power to be, amen, what God wants you to be. You have the power, amen, to be that witness. You have the power to overcome the devil when he tempts you. You have the power. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, for whatever comes against you, whatever comes against your mind, whatever comes against you physically, spiritually, financially, whatever comes against you, God said, what do you have already in your hand? Quit looking for something else. Well, glory to God, glory to God. What do you have in your hand? What do you possess already? Amen. We raise our eyes and start looking at other things, and we forget about God oftentimes, and we forget oftentimes that He's in control and that it's in His power. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. My. Amen. Praise the devil don't want me to say this tonight. He don't want me to preach this. He don't want somebody having faith tonight. He don't want somebody getting a hold of this tonight, because if he can keep you down, if he can keep you, amen, wondering and worrying and fretting, praise the Lord. He's got you right where he wants you. And that's all a part of being human. But I'm here to try to help somebody tonight, encourage somebody tonight. Amen. God says, what do you have in your hand? Amen. Moses, what do you have in your hand? You've got everything you need to be what I want you to be and what I've called you to be. You've got everything in your hand already. Amen. For my miracle working power to work. Praise God. Hallelujah. Quit looking here and there and searching here and there and wondering when and where and what. God says, I've got, amen, everything I need already. Amen. You have it in your hand. You have it in the house. I just want to use it. I just want to put my hands on it. Well, praise God. You know, oftentimes what we do when things get down to the nitty gritty, and when all we have is a pot of oil, when all we have is a little handful of meal, when all we have, we start doing this. Amen. That's all I got. That's all I got. Praise God. And I'm not, please don't think I'm preaching about money tonight. I'm not preaching about money. I'm preaching about whatever. Praise God. We just start trying to go into survival mode. Don't touch it. That attitude that I preached about that says it's mine gets on us. Don't touch it. It's mine. It's all I got. It's all I have left. Amen. Leave me be. Leave it alone. Amen. That's kind of how this widow woman was. Don't mess with my handful of meal and me and my boy. That's all we've got left. Praise God. But God said, if you'll let me touch it. Praise God. If you'll just let me put my hands on it. You have everything you need right now for the miraculous power of God to move. And for great things to happen, if you'll just let me touch it. If you'll just let me put my hands on it. I often think about this young lad. I do not believe for one minute that Jesus' disciples went up and confiscated that basket from him. They didn't go and say, hey, boy, give me that lunch. They didn't take it from him. But there was something in the heart of that boy that said, you know what? There's 5,000 men here plus women and children. And this is all I've got, and I'm really hungry. But if you can use it, if the master, hallelujah, oh my, praise God. I hope this just gets on somebody tonight. I hope you go from fretting to just saying, God, this is all I've got, but here it is. If you can use it. He said, if you can use it, he can have it. And that's all that Jesus was looking for. Somebody that was willing to say, here's all I have in my hand. It isn't much, but if you can take it and do something with it. My, my, my. And those 5 loaves and 2 fish. Was blessed. Jesus said, that's all I need. That's all I need. We're talking about the Creator. We're talking about the one that owns everything anyway. We're talking about the one that has all the money anyway. He owns all the gold. He owns all the silver. He owns all the land. It's all His. It's all His anyway. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then and he gave it to him, and he took it and blessed it, broke it, and it fed. And we're still talking about it today. I wonder what could happen this week in some of our lives. I wonder what could take place. I wonder what God could do if you'd just quit worrying about that thing. Praise God. I don't know why I'm preaching this. I just felt this afternoon, so that's why I preach it. If I feel that God's leading me to preach something, that's what I'm going to do. So, amen. If there's nobody here that needs this, oh well, maybe I need it. But, amen, I feel like God's talking to somebody tonight. If you'd just quit worrying about it and say, God, here it is. This is what I have in my hand. And I don't know what you can do with it. And I don't know how you can use this, God, but I'm going to give it to you. Hallelujah. I'm going to let you praise God. I'm telling you, that boy left that day. I believe this is me. This is just me. The Bible doesn't tell us, but when it was all said and done, he walked there that day with 5 loaves and 2 fish. The Bible says there was 12 baskets of leftovers picked up. You know what I think happened with those 12 baskets? I think the Lord said, here you go. Here's what's left. Thank you for letting me use your lunch. Woo! Hallelujah. I wonder what could happen in our lives if we would let God have our talents. If we would give God our ability. Well, it isn't much, Brother Brown, but God, here it is. I wonder what God could do with it. I'm going to tell you, He can do far more with it than we can do with it. Let's stand together. I know this isn't a typical Sunday night service. I know we're not shouting and running and dancing. But I feel like the Lord's speaking anyway. Is there somebody here tonight that would just try God at His Word? Say, I'm going to quit worrying about it. I'm going to quit stressing out over what I can't do, over what I can't fix, over what I can't control. And I'm just going to let Jesus take what I have. Praise God. I feel this tonight. I really feel this tonight. God's wanting to do something great. But it's going to take you and it's going to take me to be willing to let Him put His hands on what we have. Moses could have stayed in the desert with the sheep. God's people would have stayed in Egypt bound. They'd have never seen the parting of the waters at the Red Sea. They'd have never seen the plagues that God brought upon Egypt. I'm going to tell you what we do and how we respond affects so much. God can do whatever He wants to do without us, without our help. That's not the way God has chose to do things. God could come down with His own voice booming out of the sky and tell us what we need to do, but God chose to use a preacher, to use a man. God could do whatever He wants to do, but God's chose to work through people. God could have told the man of God, you tell that poor widow woman that I'm going to dump $1 million on her doorstep in the morning. But no. He just said, what do you have in the house? Moses, what do you have in your hand? If that lady had not have responded to what God was telling her to do, those creditors would have come and taken those boys. We were talking at lunch today, amen, of how people doesn't really realize what we do affects so much, affects so many other people. Parents, what we do affects our children. We think, oh, we're just going to do this, but no, there's others that pay the price. Oh, praise God. What do you have in your hand tonight? I wonder what God can do. I wonder what He will do if we'll let Him. Starting to feel the Holy Ghost move in this place right now. Moses, are you going to let Him use that rod? If you do, you're going to see miracles happen that you've never seen happen before. I'm preaching to somebody right now. The Lord's talking to somebody right now. Are you going to let Him use that thing that you clasp so firmly in your hand? Are you going to let Him use it for His glory? Praise God. I wonder the souls that can be saved by somebody in this place just saying, God, if that's what you want to use, I want you to use it. I wonder what kind of things God is going to accomplish in your family, in your church here, because of somebody just opening up and saying, here it is, God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, God's going to take care of what's been bugging you, what's been afflicting you, what's been bothering you, and He's going to do all kinds of other things in the process. If you'll let Him take what's in your hand. That boy didn't only enjoy his lunch that day, but probably 10 to 15, 20,000 people enjoyed all they could eat that day. And he still took home more than what he brought. Just because he said, here it is, God. It isn't much, but it's what I have in my hand. If you can use it, Lord, use it. Hallelujah. Come on, let's feel after God right now. Let's feel after God. I challenge somebody in the Holy Ghost right now. I challenge somebody in the Holy Ghost right now. Just put Him to the test. Hallelujah. Take God at His word. Take God at His word. He's not looking for something that you can't give Him. He's not asking for something that's impossible for you to give. He's not looking for something that's beyond your ability. He's just saying tonight, what's that in your hand? What's that in your house? What do you have? What do you have? He's not asking for a miracle. But He's just asking for what you already have so He can work a miracle. Praise God. Oh, come on, let's just reach out to the Lord right now. Can we just trust God? Can we just trust God right now? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to tell you, not only are you going to be blessed by it, not only are you going to be delivered, not only are you going to be helped, not only are you going to be saved because of it, but there's others that's going to benefit. A whole nation of people came out of Egypt because one man said, here's my rod, God, that's in my hand. You asked me what it was, here it is. If that's what you want to use, God, here it is. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. What's in your hand tonight? Oh, come on, child of God, what's in your hand tonight? What is it that God can use? What is it tonight that God can put His anointing on? Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, come on, let's just reach out to the Lord. I know it's a little different right now, but can we just
feel after God. There's a touch of the Holy Ghost in this place right now. I said there's a sweet touch of the Holy Ghost in this house right now. Oh, hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Here it is, God. Here it is, God. Oh, here it is, God.